Now, all the little sections of scripture that I want to read tonight are in the first epistle to the Corinthians. They're all quite short. First one is in chapter 1. First epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 17. This is Paul, the apostle, writing to the Corinthians, and he says, "For Christ has not sent me to baptize, but to preach glad tidings. Not in wisdom of word, that the cross of the Christ may not be made vain. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is God's power." Then in chapter 2, the first verse, "And I, when I came to you, brethren, came not in excellency of word or wisdom, announcing to you the testimony of God, for I did not judge it well to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And then in verse 7, "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, that hidden wisdom which God had predetermined before the ages for our glory, which none of the princes of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But according as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear not heard, and which have not come into man's heart, which God has prepared for them that love him." And then finally, in chapter 3, and verse 10, "According to the grace of God which has been given to me as a wise architect, I have laid the foundation, but another builds upon it. But let us each see how he builds upon it. For other foundation can no man lay besides that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." I want to speak to you tonight about my Saviour. I'm not here to present a sermon to you. I don't have any sermon prepared. But what I want to tell you is this. Many years ago, I knew what it was to be still in my sins. But what I have found is peace with God by someone who was able to remove my sins completely and to give me peace. I know that in a shortly coming day, there will be a big change upon this earth. A day when the chaos that exists in this world will change. And the gospel as it's known today and as it's preached will cease. And I want to give to you a sense of the urgency of the gospel tonight. That there is a Saviour who is able to give you peace with God as well. And he's done it through the giving of his beloved Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. Gave his Son for sinners like you and me. And he wasn't put off by what he saw, even though God knows your heart and he knows it perfectly. He knows your actions. And hey, he knows even your thoughts. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. And that's the God with whom every one of us will have to do in a quickly coming day. None of us knows how long we have upon this earth. We don't know that. But whether we die or whether we're taken when the Lord comes, there will be no further opportunity to accept Jesus as your Saviour and have your sins washed away. But tonight you have an opportunity. Because today's a day of salvation. And I know that's a scripture that I'm quoting, a verse. But, you know, it's more than just a verse of scripture. It's a command. God commands all men everywhere to repent. And he's given us an opportunity whereby we may. And I just want to present that opportunity to you tonight from these verses in Corinthians. And I want to speak to you about the cross of Christ. And what that means to me. And what it could mean to you. You know, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, it was a company of Christians in the very early days. And as he wrote this letter, he must have had quite a few misgivings because he knew of quite a few things that were going on that really weren't right at all. Perhaps I feel a little sorry for Paul as he started to write this letter, you know. He loved these believers dearly. He knew them. And yet all sorts of things were going on that really weren't in accordance with the will of God at all. And what does he do as he starts his letter? Does he start to berate them? Does he start to take issue with them as soon as he puts his pen to paper? No. What he does, he presents the Lord Jesus Christ. It was only the other day when we were reading these scriptures at home that it came home to us that in the first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there are 10 references to Christ Jesus or to Jesus Christ. You think of that. That here was Paul with his pen poised. And he knew all about what was going on amongst the Corinthian Christians. And what does he do but present them with 10 verses that are filled with Christ? Friend, I want to present Christ to you tonight. I'm not here to condemn you. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I'm here to present Christ to your soul. For your acceptance by faith tonight. Because God commands all to repentance. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. And there's not one of us, you know, that can escape. There's not one of us that outside the need for God's blessing. Not one. Scripture tells us quite clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not one righteous, the scripture tells us. No, not even one. You know, in a day to come when we stand before a holy and a righteous God, what will we say? Or will we say, well, we did good works? We did things which were counter the balance of the things we did wrong. Oh, friend, I can tell you, again from the words of Scripture, you'll be weighed in the balance and you'll be found wanting. And you're having to do with a righteous God. How do you stand before him today? Do you stand in your own righteousnesses, in your own good works? Well, the Bible here tells us that even your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Dear friend, I have to tell you that there's not a lot of hope for you. Because, you know, there's nothing you can do that's going to resolve the issue between yourself and God apart from the acceptance of the solution that God himself has provided in the giving of his beloved son. And what he's done is to send his son, who was himself son of God, who has been here and has walked a path of suffering for you and me, and who gave his life on a cross at a place called Calvary, who died there for you and for me. And when he died there, God laid upon him my sins. And I thank God that because the one on whom he laid my sins was absolutely perfect, he has borne my sins and carried them away, that they'll never be remembered anymore. And I thank God for that. When I look back in my history and I see the things, I remember the things that I've done and the things that I've said and the things that I've thought. And yet God has come out in the fullness of his love, even though he knew it all. And has offered me a solution. He's offered me a savior.
And all he's asked me to do is to turn to him in true repentance, to believe on that wonderful Saviour. And I commend him to you tonight. His name is Jesus. He lives above, at the right hand of God tonight. He lives in heaven. Day is coming when I shall see him face to face. The one who loved himself, loved me and gave himself for me. I shall look upon him as he is. But tonight, assurance of that can only come by trusting in him and owning our sins and coming to Christ as our own personal Saviour. Which brings me to the first scripture that I read in Corinthians. The word of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. What is it to you? Do you think it's foolish, the word of the cross? Or perhaps you say, I've heard the gospel of the cross of Christ preached many times. But what is it to you? You know about it. But what does it mean to your soul? Have you come to the cross and seen that the one who suffered there was Christ himself, the Saviour? And that God, through Christ, is appealing to you tonight to come to him and own him. You know, there's a word in the Old Testament where he says, God says, come now and let's reason together. Let's reason together. I'm often amazed at that, you know. Why ever should God reason with me? The Almighty God, the creator of the worlds. And yet there it is in the scripture. Come, reason together. Tonight, he's appealing to you. He'll reason with you. And he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be crimson, they shall be as wool. You think of the blessing that God is prepared to give to the sinner today. I don't know how dark your sins may be. I know a fair bit about my own. But what I know is this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. And that word of scripture has time and time again been a comfort to me. And I know the power of the precious blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary that God has accepted fully. And as a result, my sins are completely washed away. And what does this scripture tell us here? The word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is God's power. God's power. The power of the gospel that's able to do what you can't do. The power of the gospel that's able to reach you just where you are. The power of the gospel that tells you that Jesus, who died here upon earth, now lives in the glory above and waits to save. And tonight, if you'll just accept him, you can know this power for yourself and have peace with God. You know that hymn that we sang? There from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed, mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? The love of the Saviour is extended towards you tonight.
It's for your acceptance. It's for your obedience to come to Christ and own him as your Saviour and Lord. And only that way can you know what it is to truly have peace with God. I present the gospel to you, as I say, not as a sermon. I present it to you as something that is real to my soul. I know my Saviour lives. I thank God for Jesus every day. I thank him for his work, because the older I get, the more precious it becomes to my soul. To think that God should work in such a wondrous way in his love to completely remove every trace of sin and set me free. And he's done it through his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the second scripture that I read, he says, I did not judge it well to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all he looked for amongst these Corinthians. He knew that there were all sorts of things going on. And friend, he knows exactly what's going on in your heart and in your life. He knows exactly where you stand. And if you're still in your sins, he knows that too. But he has the solution for you. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That Saviour died for me at Calvary. And he died for you too. And if you'll just accept the work that has been done and own him as your Saviour, you can know what it is for your sins to be washed away too. I tell you this, it gives you wonderful peace to know what Jesus has done. It gives you wonderful peace to know that in the day when you have to do with God, that you can stand there. Oh friend, my sins will never be brought up against me again. I thank God for that. But even if they were, you know, I could point to the atoning blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary and say, that made my peace with God. Everything gone. God says, their sins and their iniquities will I never remember anymore. Isn't it wonderful what God has done? And the gospel that I present to you tonight is better glad tidings than you'll ever find in this world. For do you know, what God has done has completely removed everything that stood out against me. Everything that stood between myself and God has been removed. And I can know what it is to just trust in him and trust in the precious work that Jesus has done. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, in the parenthesis, just a little further on, we learn that none of the princes of this age knew. If they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. You think of the crowds crying out there, crucify, crucify, we will not have this man to reign over us. You think of the one of whom it was prophesied, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Ah, but think of those words upon the cross when Jesus was dying there. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amazing grace. It surely is. You think of the fullness of God's heart of love that was extended towards those that were present that had actually crucified his son. and yet the fullness of God's heart toward them was expressed in those words. And that prayer has been answered. Because forgiveness is available to you tonight. But you must accept it. You must come to Christ, owning your need. You must accept that that one, the blessed Son of God, has come here, and you can reach out in faith. You think of the woman in Luke chapter 8. She came to the Lord because she was ill, and she'd been ill for 12 years. And her life was ebbing away. And she came to the Lord and she reached out and touched him. Now, how about you tonight? You say, well, I've heard the gospel time and time before, yeah, but have you ever reached out and touched him? Have you ever had to do with him personally? You need to tonight if you never have before. And she came and she was down on her knees and pushing through the crowds in a public place. And she just reached out and she just touched the hem of his garment. It's probably as near as she could get. You haven't got to push through crowds tonight. You haven't got to struggle to get near to the Lord. You can come and have to do with him right where you are. The love of God that would appeal to your heart is the love that would say, I'm able to save you. The Lord Jesus raised the question when that woman touched him and he said, power has gone out from me. The saving power of Christ that is available to you today. It's the same power that that woman experienced. And it says that she was immediately healed. Oh, the wonder of it, you know. There's no delay from God's side. You can have to do with him tonight and know what it is for every sin to be washed away and have complete peace with God. But are you prepared to come and reach out to him? Are you prepared to own your sins and trust in Christ as your own personal Savior? Well, I commend God's love to you. It's a wonderful peace that fills the heart when Christ is owned as Savior and Lord, and the opportunity is yours. My last scripture. I have laid the foundation, says Paul, but another builds upon it. But let each see how he builds upon it. How? And then he says, for other foundation can no man lay besides that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Whatever you may do, whatever you may say, everything must be built upon Christ. Never forget that. I say it as a warning because I see it. As I look around in the world today, I see persons who are ostensibly on a Christian pathway. And they tell me that God does this and God does that. But you mention the name of the Lord Jesus. And suddenly there's a silence. Oh, what's happened? You must build on Jesus Christ. Everything for the will of God is founded upon him. Everything in the coming day, in that day that I spoke of, when I shall see him face to face, in that day I shall be with him where he is, and everything will be sustained for the pleasure of God because he's there. When you say Scripture doesn't tell us very much about what heaven's going to be. No, it doesn't. It doesn't need to. Because for the believer that has trusted in Christ and known what it is for their sins to be completely removed, owes everything to him. And the fact that they will be with him forever is all they need to know. Oh, the joy and peace of dwelling with our Saviour in the coming day. And that day may be very soon. A day is coming when mercy's door is going to close. And the gospel won't be preached anymore. Those who are still in their sins will be left upon this earth for judgment. Those who have trusted in Christ will be taken to be forever with him when he calls them to be with himself. I'd love to be sure that everybody in this room was trusting in Christ. And that everyone in this room will hear that call and be taken to be with him to that heavenly home that's been prepared by a God who loves you. He's done it all. He's done the work, and there's no need for you to add anything to that work. You couldn't, because the work's complete. But he does require an answer tonight. Obedience from you to God's command that you might accept Christ as your personal Saviour. Again, that hymn that we sang at the beginning. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Lord of glory died. He died for you, and he died that you might be blessed. Make sure you come and own him as your Saviour tonight, for his name's sake.
Amen.